So one of the online voiceover casting sites that we highly recommend is Voice123. The quantity and the quality of auditions are some of the best.
And not only is the quantity and quality good, but your Voice123 dashboard can give you such great insight that's helpful for your career.
Yeah, you can actually see when clients favorite you, like your audition, and even your booking ratio, which really helps you understand your sweet spot even better and how you can best serve your clients.
Voice123 is offering a 15% discount for a new yearly membership, beginning with a $395 tier.
And I made my membership amount back with one booked job.
And I actually just signed up. If you're interested, see the link in the show notes or description.
To get 15% off your new Voice123 membership.
You're listening to the Atlanta Voiceover Studio and ProVoiceoverTraining.com podcast. Hey, I'm Mike Stout.
And I'm Heidi Rue. We're both full-time voice talent and owners of Atlanta Voiceover Studio and ProVoiceoverTraining.com. AVS is a recording and training studio in Atlanta with virtual options available to join. And ProVoiceoverTraining.com offers on-demand video resources to better your voiceover career.
Our purpose in creating both of these is to give you the resources you need to create the career you want. And that's exactly why this podcast exists as well.
Each month, we bring on an expert to share their industry knowledge, insight, and helpful tips.
Visit AtlantaVoiceoverStudio.com and ProVoiceoverTraining.com for more great resources.
Okay, I am here with someone that is way smarter than me and probably way smarter than all of you that is listening. Robert Marshall, he's the co-founder of Source Elements, which you probably know of as Source Connect. And he really is the visionary behind the idea of leveraging internet connectivity to make post-production faster and more productive, like at the very beginning stages. This goes back years ago. And he not only holds degrees in electrical engineering, see already, I told you, smart, and also music composition. So he is the perfect person that we probably didn't even know how much we needed in our lives. And you may have not even realized what an impact that he's made in our industry in voiceover. So Robert, I am so happy to have you today. Thank you so much. And I am sad that we haven't had you before now, but it actually works at a great time because you're going to launch something really cool coming up. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the podcast. But for those of the people that are listening and they don't know the history behind Source Elements and how it came to be, can you explain a little bit about how the idea even started and how you and Rebecca Wilson, who's the CEO of Source Elements, how you guys ended up coming together and creating this great resource?
Sure. So it goes back to the late 90s and really early 2000s. And I'd been working at a post-house, a full-service post-house, but we had audio rooms. And back then, all remote recording was done over ISDN. And at the end of the day, you know, you'd get some beers with the boss or the owners of the company, and they would complain about how expensive the ISDN lines were and whatnot. And this is right around the time where, you know, like broadband internet was just becoming a thing. So it's not on your cell phone, not really yet. You can barely get email on your cell phone. But still, our company had at that time a T1 line with a whopping 1.4 megabits per second, which is now like nothing on your cell phone. You know, we're looking at gigabit connections to the homes now. And I just, you know, I kept on saying, hey, why can't this expensive thing happen over the internet? And did some proof of concepts. And at some point, we were trying to find companies and people that could build it. And all the numbers that you'd get back from some of these more established names in the audio and video industry were like, yeah, we'll build that. It'll be X million dollars. Like,
oh my gosh. Eh.
And I hadn't met Rebecca through a friend of mine. And I knew that there was like a nascent sort of software industry where some people were writing software and they weren't some team of 100 mm-hmm. people. And it was like kind of, and I knew what was possible with one determined programmer, let's say. And so Rebecca's approach is like, oh, yeah, I can get that done for this shockingly low amount of money. And one thing leads to another, and people throw their money together. And by 2004, we did the research. 2005, we had developed a version. And Rebecca's key was really being able to organize the effort. It's not mm-hmm. like she programmed the right. whole thing, but she knew how to get things made. And she's also a composer, less of a sort of audio operator, and she got more into being a computer. She just was a computer. Yeah. I can't explain it any other way. And so that's how we met, and we ran it for all these years. And around, I forget what it was, 2013 or 14 or so, the original, it took off, but it wasn't just like kaboom. And at some point, the post house, it spawned out of, was like, we want to be a post house, not a software company. And
wow.
They worked out this deal where basically, Rebecca was the steward of the company for many years, and we'd always worked together. So I'm back in as an original principal. But
wow.
Yeah, it's 20 whatever yeah. years. It's crazy.
Yeah. That is crazy.
Yeah.
And I know just from having the studio, the ups and downs of running a business. And so I just want to say congratulations, because that is no easy feat to have this company as long as you guys have, and the fact that it's so successful. Okay. I ask you this, Robert, and I'm so sorry, but with all the respect in the world for you, can you explain to us how Source Connect works in the most like elementary way that us non-engineers can understand?
Yeah. So Source Connect is an application, Mac and Windows, and I can get into why it's that. And so you launch it, and primarily you have to log in with an account that you get, as is the case with many softwares these days. You have a user account, user password. Boom, you're in, and you pick your microphone as there, a Neumann?
TLN.
And then you pick your headphones. So there's some tech setup, but some of that is assumed that you have a little bit of that going on, because you might already be recording your voice in your computer. And at that point, it's pretty much like a really high quality phone, a bit like Skype, in that you have a contacts list or a friends mm-hmm. list that you can manage. And you can see who's online, and you can highlight them and connect with them. And in its default settings for voice talent, it just transmits your voice basically exactly as it is over to the other side. And the version that the other studios are using is equipped so that they can pretty easily record you into their workstation directly. So you don't really need to be worrying about a backup mm-hmm. recording. It's still sort of customary to make, but it handles all that as part of the software, and it doesn't handle the audio in any way that's more like most of these remote systems, which are designed for communications, but not really fidelity and quality. Mm-hmm. But on the actor side, tries to do it as simply as possible. So yeah, you launch the software, you log in with your username, pick your microphone, which you have to do once, it'll remember that, and wait for it to sort of ring, or for a message that pop-ups that says, Your producer or whoever is looking to connect with you, do you accept the connection?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yes, you do.
And easy.
Is that simple?
Yes,
enough,
no, that's great. That is great. And what are some of the main ways that Source Elements can help voice talent? I mean, you already explained kind of the Source Connect, but are there any other ways that we're not seeing or hearing about or understanding?
Yeah, we have some new stuff, especially as remote sessions become more assumed. Mm-hmm. And so there's sort of different levels of remote sessions. I'd say that Source Connect is mainly applicable when the other side is recording you, and that's ideal. Mm-hmm. So there's someone, editing takes together in real time and managing the takes and what's, it just helps a lot. But there's going to be times when clients hire VO talent, and their approach is to all sit around a meeting room or a remote meeting room where the talent is, and then they expect the talent to, people call it self-record, mm-hmm. or, there's various, but essentially now you're the engineer. You have to make sure that the recording sounds and is good. You have to be able to deliver it to them. You have to, sometimes they'll start asking you to play back previous takes. Who knows? Right. Like they might ask you to edit or do punch and rolls and all this stuff. And really this is, was a whole person's job.
Yeah.
But our Nexus product, the way we kind of divide things is, if you think about it, Source Connect is the remote booth or the critical recording. And that's if you were being recorded by another engineer. But if it's just you and clients, Nexus is our sort of client side. So the engineers, when they're recording you on Source Connect, they might have a whole bunch of clients on Nexus, and that's how they're talking to you. And that allows things to be isolated, and the engineer's not going to record the clients onto the VO track and things like that. But certainly talent could use Nexus as well. It's very easy to either... It now has a bunch of plugins that it used to just have one that would do... You had to do routing within it, but you had to know what you wanted. It was very much like a sort of geeky engineer piece. And the new version Nexus Suite has the same plugins, but also has a few more that are built specifically for the purpose, so that they include several routes, how to get your DAW to play back to you and also over to the clients, so that you can easily play back and share what you're doing in your DAW without having to figure out all the routing. Mm-hmm. And so Nexus Suite makes that pretty easy, especially if you're if you're using something like Pro Tools or Audition or a full-up DAW, or you might be using even something like Twisted Wave.
Yeah.
The Review plugin also has a standalone app that lets you share your audio without creating echo backs and things like that. So in those situations, I'd say there's definitely something more. And then in general, I think being listed and having Source Connect ready to go, I think a lot of clients are looking to hire talent and you know, often you don't even have a test before the session. Right. Sometimes you do a lot of let's go, we'll send you a connection. So I'd say those are the two best ways, is sort of being listed and being able to handle either type of session.
How, I don't know if you even know the percentage wise, but how did your business grow once COVID hit?
Like a ton. It was very painful.
You weren't sitting at home bored, let's just say that, right? You were not baking bread or anything like that.
Gray hair. It was rough. I mean, we had to expand. We were kind of a cottage small company, and it really forced us to, we had to completely reinvest in everything. And then, to be honest, we got a little bit over our skis. We had all these users, and then by 2021, it's like everyone's like, oh, like it's over.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, but we had staffed up tremendously, and sort of that, like, I equate it, if you've ever gone water skiing and the driver can't keep a consistent speed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great. You know, I'm not saying it was bad for us, but it was definitely an incredible trip. And I think really allowed us to reinvest for the long haul and organize things and just be able to start to achieve things that before were like, wouldn't it be great?
Yeah. Now, there's different subscriptions, but there's different levels of Source Connect. Mm-hmm. You can do like a basic Source Connect that's free. You may have to tell me all those, because I have Source Connect Pro,
I forget some of the other ones. So going way back, we had even, or not way back, but the bottom version was sort of Source Connect Now, which was really an island unto itself. It was a way of using a web browser to allow you to connect with clients, but there's a lot of issues with web browsers as high-quality audio systems. So that was the free version, and it's now become the free version of Nexus, essentially. That's, in fact, in a few days, that's being turned off, and the free version of Nexus is sort of the replacement of that. The version that most talent are kind of... would be interested in and often are expected to have is Source Connect Standard. And that's sort of simplified, and it's a lower cost version that does exactly what the talent needs and doesn't have all the other stuff that's needed by an engineer to do the recording and handling other situations. And Standard is available in a few different ways. There's actually a two-day license that's $25. There's a subscription, which is basically $35 a month. The first month is $110, so there's this sort of setup, And then after that, it's 35. You know, if you keep it in 4 month strides, you can stop any time and come back at the 35 rate. And then we have like a full license, which essentially is $650. And then you have the license, and the only cost is a support fee going forward each year. It's you can also do it quarterly, but it's basically $105 per year. After that. So that's sort of the lowest cost long-term way to run it. I forget what it is, but roughly, like if you were to subscribe for 2 years, roughly the buyout version or the full license would become, would start to then become more affordable. Mm-hmm. But until then, the monthly subscription or the yearly are more affordable until that 2 year sort of point crosses.
I think it's good for talent to understand or to hear that you can get a 2 day Source Connect subscription too, because I know that there's a lot of talent that they may do on camera work as well as voiceover work. You know, it's part of kind of their pies.
Yeah, it's more intermittent for them.
So it for them, sometimes it feels overwhelming to have to do like a whole year of Source Connect or whatever. So I think it's a good reminder for people that they can get a 2 day Source Connect.
Yeah, a good way to do it also, the 2 day licenses don't come with live support. So a big thing we pride ourselves on is having a really strong support infrastructure. You can also buy individual support calls.
Oh, okay.
But often what might make sense is to just grab a monthly subscription, get it installed, get familiar. That first month will be $110. You'll be fully set up. And then if you want, you can sort of cancel right then. And then just use 2 day licenses with once you're all set up. That's a pretty safe way to go about doing
that's
it too.
Great.
I think if not, the support calls are $50 or $20. A short one is $25, but possibly $50. So if not, it'd be $75. But if you do the $110, just the 1 month subscription to get set up, then you have a whole month to kick it around and get familiar.
Yes.
And book a support call. You know, we often try to have the support calls booked in advance instead of just like, like call me, I have a session in 3 minutes. Like,
like I've never done before. nothing like hearing a voice talent freak out.
Oh my God.
What is all this stuff? Yeah, that is so great. Thank you so much for kind of explaining that and breaking it down for us. Okay, you already mentioned that we don't necessarily have to run a backup during the session. I know there's some of my clients that will always say, hey, do you mind just running a backup? I typically get set up to run a backup just in case. But is there something that we do need to be paying attention to if we are running a backup?
Yeah, like Source Connect has the auto restore feature built into it. And the reasons why you would want to run a backup is just because if you don't, somehow it'll be needed. So, and if you do run a backup, then you won't need it. It's just the way the universe works. But the idea behind the auto restore system is that you don't need to run a backup. It's tracking all the recordings that are made on the engineer's side. And if there's a dropout, it just quickly goes to your system, gets just the missing chunk of audio, and puts it back in their audio file. So it's not a huge transfer, and it happens on the fly as the session's happening. The reasons, you know, unfortunately, especially with the current version, which is 3.9, the talent has to launch the queue manager. It's a little app. There's a button in Source Connect. You have to just make sure it's online. So you launch it and give it a second. It says online. That's all the talent has to do. The engineer has to do a few other things. They have to sort of show Source Connect where they're recording audio to. And they have to make sure that they route it in such a way that they don't mess up our ability to keep track of it. And the only thing that seems to happen is, especially coming as an ISDN replacement, this isn't something that ISDN ever did. It never had a built-in intelligent backup system. So a lot of engineers would just go like, whatever, like, I don't know what that is or what that was, or just quit, and they wouldn't use the feature, essentially. And so Source Connect 4 is putting it all a little bit more built in instead of a separate app. It's built into the system. Hopefully, we've tried to make it as easy to set up as possible. But it is one of the sort of magic features of Source Connect that makes it really different. When you compare Source Connect to other systems, they're usually piggybacking on general communications platforms. Mm. So they're like, hey, we're Google Meet, but high quality.
Right.
But those systems' idea of high quality is really still to preserve a conversation. And so they play with time and they play with the bitrate a lot. They're basically kind of surfing the connection and changing it in real time to keep it intelligible. That's their goal. So, you know, like the classic one is on Skype when you get a word that goes along after that, yeah. The catch up. And it's like, you don't want that happening right. To your performance. And so that's where Source Connect's different. And if all that stuff happened, there'd be no file to fix on the other side because it's some distorted version of what really happened. Mm-hmm. So that's really where it's different. And that's one of the reasons why browsers tend to be problematic, because you can't really stop a browser. It's communication system. It's yeah. That's how it's mainly seen as.
Yeah.
But yeah, the auto restore, auto replace system is key and cool.
Since you already mentioned Source Connect 4, can you share with us mm-hmm. what it is, when it's coming? What do we need to know about it?
Sure. So Source Connect 4 is going to be, I'll probably get shot for saying this, but should at least be out in beta by April for the NAB convention. And let me see if I can show this to you. Let's see. And I can share?
You should be able to share
screen.
The screen.
Entire screen. This one.
Okay.
Hello, you. So there is Source Connect 4.
Wow.
Essentially. I don't have anyone to connect with, but on the side, here's your contacts list. You'll be able to do searching, some new things, searching within. Eventually, you'll be able to add contacts within without having to go to the website to manage your contacts. It's going to handle multiple connections in one system. So if you're a talent, the engineers might set you up, you know, like in an ensemble, and you'll all hear each other with very low latency, but the engineer will have a separate output for each person so that they can record them on separate tracks. And it has the auto restore system built in. So really nothing for the talent to set up at all at that point. And just more verbose, these are all like the activity of the auto restore system, essentially. Like, is it restoring something? Is it replacing system? Is there a file transfer going on, or is it complete? And then this is sort of your tally of failed or, you know, fixes, and if there were any failures. All the usual stuff, you know, messaging, text messaging. We have a connection log here now. Actually, let me turn this off on my mic. I'm sorry, I had a noise gate going just to ruin your audio. Sorry about that. there's logs, so you can go through with, this is something we didn't have before, and this might be a lot of geeky stuff, but it can help with troubleshooting.
Oh, okay.
The transport lock feature, if you ever get into this with doing ADR, you might, if not, probably not as an actor, you know, you might not. But just, you know, much more modern, doesn't look like it came out of the 2000s, it's more dynamic, you know, as far as like scalable, getting better at that with our GUI. There's Source Connect 4 without a connection.
I love it. That's so cool to be able to see. And I heard that Source Connect 4, one of the things that we don't have to worry about is port mapping. Is that right?
Port forwarding. Right. It's not required anymore.
Wow.
Right. It wasn't, even with 3.9 on Mac, it was starting to not be required because connections Mac to Mac could bypass port forwarding. But when it got to connections with Windows, port forwarding was, because Windows was a whole version behind. So one of the things is that, you know, 3.9 was the Mac version. The current Windows version is 3.8. Mm-hmm. And there's never going to be a 3.9 for Windows.
We're just straight to 4.
Leapfrogging, there's no point. Yeah. And that's a huge thing for us. It took 10 or whatever years, but slowly, because I don't know, 80% of our users are Mac. And you try to, especially when you were a smaller company, trying to fix everything. And back then they were truly two different builds. Like this is on a modern platform that allows us to kind of iterate on all the different platforms. You know, like eventually we should be able to, with this platform, be able to provide an iOS version, for example, and things like that. So we have a much, but like a lot of what Source Connect 4 is just the flexibility to now do a lot of things that before we were locked in because we'd built it so long ago that all its ways were just, you know, not modifiable anymore, essentially.
And I heard that 4 is going to be a little bit different as far as pay goes. Instead of just a lifetime, right, is it going to be a subscription-based, or did I hear a rumor?
It's all the same stuff. So I think that's more of a rumor. We're not really changing anything other than the support is required. Before, we had no, you know, when you bought a buyout license or a buy-in license, whatever you want to call it, users had the support, but they would often just never get it, essentially. So now, you know, that support is essentially being enforced. Before, there was no mechanism to enforce it. So it's the same structure. It's like if you buy a license out, it's $650, and for standard, that comes with 6 months of it's previously called support. I think it's going to be called like a network fee or something. And then after that, it's essentially just $105 per year. So it's the same as before. The subscription isn't changing price. The 2-day licenses, all that, I believe, is all staying the same.
So for those of us that have the 3.9, we just upgrade and then we're good?
Just upgrade, and really upgrading is just maintaining that support contract is all it really is.
Well, that's great. Yeah. That's so exciting. Well, we look forward to that. So thank you so much. I know that that's been a labor of love and a long time coming. So
been huge. Yeah. We literally built it and then scrapped it and then built it again. Just if anybody's wondering why it took us so long, we did it twice. And a lot of these things changed because of the pandemic and the approach. We had been planning 4.0 just up to prior to the pandemic, and then we thought we would keep on building, but about halfway through that, we just were like, it's clear. Yeah. Like the whole world went remote and it became a accepted thing. It was no longer like, oh, it might be, it was almost like every session is an audio engineer. Now, like when clients even come in, half the time they're just, you can't buy them enough lunch to come to the studio anyways. But even when they do come to the studio, it's just like, oh yeah, and someone might join remotely. Whereas that used to be a whole setup. Now it's just expected to just launch, do your thing, make it remote. We changed our approaches for that.
Now, tell me about the Source Connect certification. I still haven't done it. I signed up for it, and then I got so busy because of the studio and my own stuff. Tell me about why you guys did that and the purpose, and you know, what is it for talent, or how does it help talent?
It's funny. If you talk to some engineers, they will be like, Source Connect. Like now I have to deal with like people's closets and their crappy Yeti microphones, and I never know what I'm going to get. Kind of like, you know, they get like, boo-hoo, you can record anybody in the world you want, and you're going to complain. But so the certification has tried to blunt a little bit of that pressure that talent have where they have to take on this engineering role. So there's a course where we try to make it easy, but really just explain the things that you're going to need to know. If an engineer says, is your phantom power on? You know what that is. Like, just the simplest stuff. It's not there to turn you into an engineer, but it's more just to help out, de-stress. And then we connect with you in real time, and we just make sure that you're aware of the setup, your setup is good, your bandwidth is good, that within reason your booth is good. We're not going to be microphone and booth snobs, but we'll get a listen, and if it's kind of echoey or it's not going to be like this where I am, would not get approved, obviously. So we'll just do a rudimentary check just to set some baseline of knowledge and performance and acoustic. But it's not at all about like, you know, can you act? Like, take this direction. What's like that? We're not getting into that at all. It's just more on the technical side, certifying.
What would you say to a talent that feels kind of overwhelmed jumping into Source Connect? Because it is, you know, we see people through Atlanta Voiceover Studio where it's like, okay, they start with the intro workshop. They learn all the things of that, you know, you need to be able to do for a voiceover career. They start with the training, demo, the home studio stuff. And then it's like, oh, and now I have to think about something else, Source Connect. It can be a lot for people. So what do you tell people that feel overwhelmed?
So the mistakes I see are, you'll see a lot of auditions that say like must have Source Connect or something on those lines. And throwing in the audition before you know you're set up can create a really stressful and embarrassing situation, depending on how quickly you're booked. So if, you know, I would say that it's not the type of thing that you set up an hour of or even the day of. I'd give yourself a day or three to get Source Connect set up. There's just some networking things and you want to make sure that everything's, you know, good. And if it's all new to you, it's just easier to have time. And we do have a support staff that's there to help. And we have booked calls. So those booked calls are typically like, you know, a day or three, depends on when it was. I mean, in the pandemic, I remember it was like, you can get a call for two or three weeks. It's just like booked up. But now I think we're like 2 or 3 days. We have, you know, a good chunk of the world, I think 16 hours of the globe. And most of that is with at least usually two people online or sometimes three. So set up early. I wouldn't think of it as too much of a daunting task. Ultimately, it is just an app that you pick your microphone and your headphones on. And right now, some of the tougher stuff to deal with is the licensing. And so one thing that people might have heard of is an iLock. And this is essentially what the iLock is a system of licensing software that was used mainly by audio engineers. And when Source Connect originally started, it was more of studio to studio. It wasn't so much of a studio to talent thing. So engineers knew about iLock, and that was the system that we used for licensing. And you have to have an iLock account. You have to have a Source Connect account. I usually try to tell people just name them the same and use the same password and think of them almost as one. But technically, we are not iLock. And that's where some of the confusion can come in, and you want to allow yourself a little bit of time to deal with that. The good thing going back to four is that it's not going to use iLock. So it'll be easier to get set up with and things like that, at least that aspect of it. But still, like, give yourself time. And then if you're, you know, you don't have to, I always say that, like, it should pay for itself in one session. Yeah. Like, the full buyout is even well capable of paying for itself in one gig. Just hopefully the session fee or two should cover it. So it's not like we're trying to say, like, if you want to do voiceovers at all, you need Source Connect. You'll know when you need it. You'll see the auditions. If you're trying to go for all those things and, like, you know, enough shots on goal and one hits. So be ready. And then, you know, you can do like we talked about, the, you know, just subscribe initially, get set up, and then do 2-day licenses. Or if you're doing enough sessions, just get a subscription. Mm-hmm.
Robert, I know that you have your finger kind of on the pulse of all this stuff. So where do you see, in your own opinion, where do you see the industry going in the next 5 years?
Well, I think everyone knows the biggest challenge is probably going to be AI. And what is that going to do, and how do voice talent as a group position AI so it's something good for them? And that's really unclear, actually, I'd say right now. You know, it's possible that a lot of, like, the sort of meat and potatoes stuff, whatever it is, e-learning, might, you know, like, a lot of companies might choose, like, I'm just going to type it in there and pick from a menu list. And, you know, but all those voices were trained someplace. And who are they trained with? And, you know, like, I think that's going to be the forefront of trying to maintain something of an industry, hopefully. So that's, I think, the biggest challenge. Besides that, it feels like things have actually, like, settled into a good workflow, and they were really, besides AI looking quite up.
Yeah. I thought. Yeah. Yeah. I feel the same way. I don't quite know how it's all going to turn out. But I know that we're kind of diving in and trying to figure out. We're not resisting. We're trying to go, okay, let's learn more about this so we can figure out where do we fit and how mm-hmm. can we bring, you know, added value with the experience that we have, right? As, you know, with you and your engineering and us as voice talent, and how do we bring that to the table? So,
yeah, I think that in some way it might end up where, you know, an actor, ultimately you're hiring an mm-hmm. actor, and unless the computer can like take direction, someone is going to have to control the software. If not, you're just going to get, hello, how are you? And it's just going to be flat and boring. So that's how it has to be. You know, hopefully we're able to turn it into a tool that, but unfortunately, I think no matter what, it does probably end up having some aspect of thinning the herd. So while on one level, it's great that there's so much more media out there. It's interesting. There are some lowerings of the bar, if you notice, on you know, the fact that I'm not even in a booth right now. I'm kind of my own worst enemy. But you see on the news, like it used to be, they would always send someone to a broadcast point. They're remote interviewing somebody. They sounded great. They had like a boom and a lav. And now it's like someone with their AirPod and sounds all swishy. Yeah. And like they're like interviewing the head of state of Poland, like,
yeah.
Hello. And it's so on some levels the bar's been lowered, but there's so much more media out there and it all needs voices. You know, video without audio is just surveillance anyways. So I think there's always a story to be told, and there's more and more content, and that's the upside. And hopefully people, you know, like know what they're buying and demand high quality product and production.
I love it. Robert, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you. And thank you so much for just the product that you provide to the voiceover industry. We're so grateful. And you guys do offer such great support.
It goes right back. We, you know, the fact that we can just have an industry together and, you know, we are without you, we are nothing. So thank you.
It's ending on such a touching moment. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.